In our signpost of the second coming series, we're at signpost number 3, fearful sights. We'll read the very words of Jesus. There are so many signposts. Jesus just basically gave an outline of them. And when we look at the word fearful sights and great signs that Jesus said, those are multiple signs right there, just in a category of their own. So many signposts, but we're just highlighting many of these today. Luke 21 and verse 11, Jesus said, "And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how instructive and informative and enlightening that it is. Lord, your word contains no mysteries. They're all revealed. Many remained in the Old Testament, but the mysteries have been revealed in the New Covenant. And we remember the words of Paul over and again. He said, "I show you a mystery," that you don't want to hold secrets from your people, particularly your covenant people, nor do you want to keep judgment a secret, but you inform the nations before you strike, Lord, giving them time to turn and repent and to look to you. And so we now take the words of Jesus and we pray for their instructive value and worth in our own life, that we would take these things in and open our eyes and see the day that we live in and the nearness of our King's coming. In his name we do pray. Amen. Jesus himself told us where these great events would have their origin. You know, people want to know why calamities come. Obviously, when the fall of Adam took place, the earth was cursed, and so we see a lot of these things taking place just as a result of a fallen earth. Jesus tells us that these fearful sights and great signs are coming from heaven, and that would probably go as well with the earthquakes and the famines and the pestilences, that it is judgment from God coming to man below. And Jesus, he gave the reason why these strange events would occur in verse 22 here of Luke 21. He said, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." So remember what Jesus' first sermon was, that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, Isaiah 61, and he stopped reading, because if he had talked about the vengeance of the Lord, the day of vengeance. And so that has to do with Jesus' second coming, not his first. And so we see that the Lord will bring judgment to his fallen creation, but he's giving man ample opportunity. And think about such great judgment coming, but there's been 2,000 years of light. Particularly, we've had 100 years of Israel returning to their land and the great signpost to the world that God's time clock is now ticking. So man should not be in the dark, does not have to be if he doesn't want to. All he needs to do is open the New Testament. But everyone seems to be clamoring to know exactly what's going on with our planet's many radical earth changes now. For a while there was the talk of global warming, but now it's a talk of a whole lot of other global things. Global icing and global earth shaking and all these many other things. But the earth is in crisis. But the Old Testament portion of the Bible has already told us when and why these things would come to pass. We look at when they would come to pass. Jeremiah tells us in chapter 30, beginning at verse 23, he says, "Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. In the latter days ye shall consider it." So when do these things come to pass? In the latter days. And why? Isaiah 24, verse 1 and verse 5 says, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws and broken the everlasting covenant." So that everlasting covenant is what God made with Adam. It should not have been broken. And so the earth is under that same a curse, the Adamic curse, because we all lived as Adam. That is, in a state where we have passed from innocence. But we are living in the latter days just before the Son of God returns to rule and reign on earth for 1,000 years. So what we're witnessing today is earth's increasing geological, oceanic, and atmospheric birth pains before the Messianic kingdom age arrives. They are birth pains before the baby comes. That's what we're seeing. A baby is not born, the mother's not at all at peace when the baby's born. It's a time of great trouble. And so in Jeremiah 30 verse 7, it is called the time of Jacob's trouble. So all this, believe it or not, is centered around the nation of Israel, the people of Jacob's descendants, the time of Jacob's trouble. It's all about finishing what he began with Israel. And these things will culminate there at the end of Jacob's trouble, the end of the tribulation, but they're now beginning to, the contractions, the birth pains are intensifying and coming closer together. And well, let's look at some of these contractions and birth pains before the kingdom comes. Let's see what's happening now in the order that Jesus laid them out. Earthquakes, these are violent contractions in the earth's crust, and they're becoming much more frequent. We've seen the recent 9.0 earthquake in Japan knock the earth off its axis and caused it to wobble. Well, Isaiah 24, verse 20, the prophet prophesied that the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. And that's what happened. These people can hardly stand in an earthquake of this magnitude. They actually stagger to be able to continue standing. We're living in momentous days. Jesus foretold of latter-day earthquakes happening in places it had never known any. And that's what we're seeing nowadays. But Jesus forewarned prophetically through the prophet Haggai, saying, "I will shake all nations." So we're seeing these earthquake tremors all around the world. There seems to be no place safe. Certain places are now beginning to experience earthquake swarms. This is something very interesting that's taking place now. And it's just lots of clusters of very small earthquakes. So close together, they're called swarms. And then closely related to the earthquake activity is volcanic activity. And the Bible does have something to say about this. Volcanoes are rumbling and smoking or erupting at an increasing rate. And even ones thought to be dormant. And that's what's amazing about the day we live in. Isaiah wrote of God visiting the earth, saying that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. So when you see pictures, and you know, wherever you see them, of these volcanoes spewing out that lava and it flows, the mountains are literally flowing, it's a signal that the Lord is about to make His presence known on earth. And the earth is announcing it before He comes. You think about, the earth is giving testimony of the presence of the King about to come. There's about 1,500 volcanoes on earth now that are considered active. 1,500. But it could have been hundreds and hundreds of years since they last showed signs of activity. But they know that they're active, meaning that they are showing some level of activity. So they monitor these. And approximately 50 of these show great activity in a year's time. They erupt on some level with ash or lava, 50 volcanoes a year. And we're just seeing that happening right now. And it's just really becoming a signpost to the world that the King's coming and His presence is soon to be here, and the earth is actually making that announcement. There's approximately 5,000 spots on the ocean floor that are venting steam or lava, and this is actually heating up the ocean. They wonder where this heating is coming from. It's not all coming from the sun or carbon emissions. It's coming from the earth's own activity that's changing. The earth, there's great earth changes happening that are somewhat out of sight. recently, four different volcanoes were erupting at the same time in Russia within about 100-mile space of each other. And this helicopter was actually looking at one of these that was active, but they began to see these other signs, and they traced all of these in one day and from sunrise to sunset and filmed all of these four volcanoes in one day erupting at the same time. And scientists have never seen anything like this happen before. The Earth underneath is moving at the King's presence. So this has nothing to do with global warming. It has everything to do with God warming. God is warming things up for the tribulation, and they'll get very hot during the tribulation. And then one final thing with the earth, we looked at earthquakes, volcanoes, sinkholes are increasingly swallowing up roads, houses, and even people. It's pretty spooky when you hear some of these stories. Recently in Florida, a man was sleeping in his house, and a hole opened up, and he and his bed and the whole room went down six stories, and they did not recover him. Yes, Florida particularly is swamped with this type of thing happening, but these sinkholes are happening all around the earth, and they're not small either. Some of these are very wide across. But it just shows something's going on in the Earth's surface, and many changes are taking place that have nothing to do with carbon emissions. It's just God beginning to heat things up. The Earth, it will swallow up man. Well, it did it in Moses' day. God opened an earthquake and 250 rebels went down. But listen to what Jeremiah says in Lamentations 2:5. The Lord was as an enemy. He hath swallowed up Israel. He hath swallowed up all her palaces. He hath destroyed in his strongholds, and has increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. So here's a picture of the earth swallowing up its inhabitants. It just reminds man that there is no place safe. I remember probably right at 10 years ago in Sydney on the nightly news, they showed the corner of an apartment block had just fallen from a sinkhole, and it had collapsed the building on one end. But let's move on to famines Jesus spoke of. Famines are generally connected to drought, but flooding also destroys crops, and that can cause famine to ensue. And then there's another factor, and that's war increases famine, and during the tribulation there'll be no shortage of that, but then we know corrupt governments and take monies that should in food and put it on the black market and keep it from the people and just use it for profit and gain, but we see these many different factors bringing about famine. And I remember just growing up as a kid in the 70s in Africa, the attention was being brought to the people, to the nation, that of the great famines taking place there. And it seems like famine is really increasing, not just in it's not left to that continent alone, but even a couple of summers ago with a heat wave in Russia, it destroyed their wheat crop. And then, as you saw last summer in America, the drought there and the heat there destroyed a great deal of the crops there and caused great damage there. Then pestilence. Pestilence is not only a contagious and devastating disease, but also something that is destructive. So this pestilence, we tend to think of some type of a virus, but the definition of a pestilence is something that is destructive. And we look at the recent irradiated air, the nuclear fallout from the accident in Japan where those three reactors exploded. Revelation 8 verse 11 says, "The third part of the waters became wormwood, and many died of the waters because they were made bitter." Well, in March of 2011, this meltdown took place in Japan, and water, steam and so forth began going down into the earth. But what they've been doing since then is they've been pouring ocean water over these pools, empty pools that have cracks in them. They won't hold the water. And they're cooling off these nuclear rods to keep them from overheating. But all this water, they've got lots of these storage tanks, but they cannot contain the water. And every day, hundreds of thousands of gallons of water are going, irradiated water are going into the ocean. And they now estimate in 6 to 10 years that the whole Pacific will be irradiated with this nuclear pollution. And the Pacific Ocean would almost qualify as about one-third of the water on Earth, approximately. But the thing is, this is not going to be the last nuclear reactor that is affected by an earthquake. And these are the good times. You know, it's not looking pretty for the future. We need to get this message out of the signs of the Lord's coming that others may wake up, because the signs are all around us. This is no longer guesswork, but we see things beginning to take place that point us to the King's coming. Now, why don't we look at fearful sights that Jesus talked about? He didn't give details what these might be, and so within this category, there's a lot that we could have a look at. Hailstorms. You know, the book of Revelation mentions stones falling from the sky weighing a talent, and the weights vary for that, but they're very, very heavy stones. They could be meteors, or they could be ice stones. They could be hailstones just as easily. Where would these hailstones be coming from? Well, Jesus already said that they're coming from heaven. These things are signs from heaven. It's coming from God's judgment throne. In Isaiah 30:30, it says, "And the Lord shall show the indignation of his anger with tempest and hailstones." So we had a church member here just Christmas last year, was it, or the year before. We had the great Christmas Day hailstorm, and brought great damage. And Australia has its fair share of hailstorms from time to time. Our house was hit by one, and we had rain gushing in on our living room furniture. That was right after we first moved here. But we see more and more. Even Jamie reported on the news this morning that up in Queensland or where? New South Wales, hailstones the size of tennis balls. And so we're seeing them get bigger and more frequent, doing their damage. A freak hailstorm hit China in May, leaving 44 people dead. And then in 1986, grapefruit-sized hail hit a city in Bangladesh. One of the stones set a record weighing 2 pounds, just under a kilogram. Killed 92 people. In China's Henan province, 22 were killed by a hailstorm about 10 years ago, and 9 more were killed in a hailstorm in 2003, also in China. And as recently as 2009, 14 people were killed by hail in another Chinese province, and buildings collapsed. And so we just see an increase in these supercell storms. And one you wouldn't want to see that supercell is one that's carrying hailstones, because the greater the storm, the higher the hail is lifted up in the air, the longer it's kept, the larger they grow. But this, once again, is all a warm-up to what the tribulation will be like. The tribulation is going to be worse than movies even make it out to be. It's a fearful time. As Jesus described them, these are fearful sights. But something some people may not be aware of are the mass deaths of birds and fish and animals. And this is sort of a recent phenomenon that's been taking place. And not all cases are these deaths of the birds and fish and animals mysteries. Some are explained. But regardless of the cause behind the deaths of these various creatures, there's a common root reason. And we find that reason in Hosea 4, verses 1 to 3. On our poster here, you have a picture of some buffalo. I think they're in Vietnam. many of them drop dead in the streets as they are walking from one place to another. And this is becoming more and more of a typical scene. They had a lot of elk drop dead in southwestern America very recently. We'll cite some examples in just a moment. But let's read this verse about these three classifications of creatures on earth. And Hosea 4 verses 1 to 3 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants." And I'm skipping in places. "Because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish." That's the people. "Everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away." Right there, Hosea 4 verse 4. Fishes of the sea and the beast of the field and the fowls of heaven shall be taken away. And here's just a few examples from 2011. 5,000 red-winged blackbirds fell dead from the sky in Arkansas and Louisiana. More than 1,000 dead doves rained down in northern Italy. 2 million fish of a single species washed ashore along Chesapeake, Maryland. 40,000 velvet crabs washed up in UK. Millions of dead fish washed along Brazil's beaches. Alligators and other water creatures floated belly up in the Rio Grande River of Santa Cruz. Millions of tiny shells washed ashore in the Middle East after sea creatures ceased to inhabit them. Hundreds of seals in Labrador were found dead on the rocky shore. 200 cows fell over dead in Wisconsin. Thousands of white-tailed deer suddenly died along a 100-mile stretch of the Milk River in Montana. 7,000 buffalo dropped dead in Vietnam. 7,000. Most recently, in October of 2013, an early winter South Dakota snowstorm killed approximately 100,000 cows. It had rained for several days, then came in the bitter cold and almost a meter of snow, and these cattle were just inundated. I don't know if you watch these type of things. It was just maybe one or two winters ago in Scotland, this spring snowstorm came, and sheep were caught in these things. And unexpectedly, and many died. They had the sheepdogs going out trying to find them, and the shepherd had to dig down and find them and pull the sheep out to rescue what they could. But we're just seeing over and over again signs of the apocalypse. This very verse that seems to almost have been tucked away for a long time is now coming out in a very eerie way. But God is being fair, because it's like the canary in the coal mine thing with the animals. God, you know, when their souls die, that's it. It's over for them. There's no suffering beyond that. But God is giving man a sign of what's coming to them next. It is that if they don't stand in line for His mercy, they'll be standing in line for judgment one day. But that's just the way God operates. He gives all men an opportunity to repent. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's a very fair God. And He sends forth His word throughout the universe and throughout the world. And people can know the word of God. And if someone has a hungry soul to want to know more about the one true God, God can get the gospel to them. This has happened over and over again. Think about the missionaries that have come to the jungle islands of the South Pacific. And many that were the first ones to arrive met with doom and were put to death. But other missionaries would come behind them, and God would continue to bring the gospel in until one day they received it. And God is a merciful God. He's not a vindictive God, but He will judge sin. And we're in the day when that day of court is coming for mankind. Scientists remain perplexed, but the Bible provides the ultimate reason behind these fish, fowl, and animals' death. And it's clearly God's judgment. It's not global warming that makes birds drop out of the sky all at once. Water turning to a color similar to blood red. Would you believe that's happening all around the earth? In rivers, lakes, oceans. And it's not just red algae, the red tide, the algae blooms. That only happens in salt water. But what we're seeing are rivers and streams and ponds and lakes and seas turning blood red, not turning to blood. Revelation 16:4 says, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood." Well, it's easy to take the Bible literally, and you should whenever it makes sense, and God turned the water to blood in Egypt 3,500 years ago. So he did it once, he can do it again. But in the same book, Revelation, it speaks of the moon turning to blood. Well, we know that's not going to happen, right? But it does mean that John, as he saw the moon, it turned the same color red as blood. Not a soft pink, but blood red. So the blood is descriptive of color. So my point is, we cannot rule out that when we see waters the color of blood, that is not also a sign from God or judgment from God, because you wouldn't want to drink the water, would you? It probably wouldn't do you any good. In most cases, it definitely wouldn't. So the point is, even if God decides to change the waters literally to blood in the tribulation, we're at least seeing a wake-up call that this is entirely possible. The following examples of various bodies of water turning to a blood red may serve as a prelude to what those who have to endure the tribulation will see, only on a much more somber scale. On February 16, 2012, the Beirut River in Lebanon turned blood red, baffling authorities. And this story was featured on the nightly news, and they were trying to backtrack the source to find out where it was coming from. And this was almost a year ago, 10 months ago. I've not read the final story, but they do not always find the cause of these. And you know how scientists and authorities are always real quick to put a label on something. Oh, we know what this is, and the search is over, but sometimes they literally are not able to define what happened. And you can see the videos of this. It's recorded on of their nightly news. I've seen it, and quite baffling. On September 7th, 2012, a very similar thing happened in China, where the Yangtze River, the longest river in China, mysteriously turned blood red near the city of Chongqing, if that's the best I can do. But officials have no idea why. There again, you can see the videos, the photos yourself of these. They're very easy to find. Recently, the Sea of Azov, it's a large sea just north of the Black Sea, and it turned blood red close to a village in just mid-July of this year, a sea. Now, we don't know if it means the borders around the sea. I doubt it was the whole sea turned that blood red, because it's a very large body of water. But near this village, they reported seeing this. But the latest body of water to turn blood red is a large lake in the Rhone Delta region of France, and this caused a lot of panic. This happened in August 2012. The scientific explanation for the blood red lake in France is an excess of salt. They also are finding waterfalls that are dumping out red water, but they sometimes report flash flooding, and they say it knocked a lot of iron loose from the sediments in the rock and so forth, and a lot of excessive iron can turn the water red, excessive salt can turn it red, lack of oxygen can turn water red, algae blooms can turn it red. But what we're reading here is where scientists don't have an explanation sometimes. Waters in an Ohio lake recently turned bright red. Not too long ago, at Bondi and a nearby beach there in Sydney, there was a red algae bloom turning the water blood red as it pushed it all up to the coastline. It's very strange-looking sights when you see it. But these things, even if God decided to turn the whole oceans into algae blooms, red algae blooms, that spells doom for man, because the fish in it die, and that's substance for man to eat. But it doesn't matter the cause behind it. We understand this is something that is not welcomed by man on earth. We don't like to see this. But other manifestations of red water in other parts of the world have yet to be fully explained, and each case is different. and the recurring natural phenomenon of the bodies of water turning red around the world seem oddly timed and concurrent with these end-time prophecies and these other phenomena that we're seeing. There's a convergence going on now. All these things happening at once. Well, let's look at the last thing Jesus mentioned in this verse, signs in the heavens. Now, there are three heavens. There's the atmosphere we breathe here, and then there's the second heaven, which is space, and the third heaven is where God lives. So when it says signs in the heavens, we're looking at our immediate first, our atmosphere plus space. But reading there in our text, chapter Luke 21, beginning at verse number 25, Jesus said, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon." We're going to look at this one specifically in a moment. "And in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see," verse 27, "the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." So the signs from the heavens will cause man to look from the very place where the Savior's coming. And he's coming as both judge and deliverer, depending on which side you're on. Speaking of signs from the heavens, all around the earth, here in the very recent years, people have been reporting this strange metallic-like sounds, trumpet-like sounds coming from the air. They all report, occasionally they say they feel like it's coming from the earth, but they all report hearing this in the air. And you have people walking out with their cameras and trying to capture the sound, and you can barely hear it. It just doesn't capture the sound properly, but it's a resonant type of sound, resonating. And it's a very disturbing sound because it's nothing like anyone's ever heard. And many people describe these as being apocalyptic in nature, this sound. Disturbing if you ever heard one, but if you want to search this story, the reports come from all over America, Canada, Germany, Mexico, all over. It's not like it's isolated around the ring of fire, so it's not like earth plates rubbing against each other and causing sound waves. This is something heard around the world. Revelation 8:6 says, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Have you ever thought about what they're doing in their preparation? I don't think they're polishing the trumpets with brass or silver polish. Jamie and I search for a lot of images looking for, like when we do posters or particularly for the bulletin. And you know, type in angels with trumpets and then type in lithographs, because you get these artwork, you know, 200 or 300 or 400 years old, these lithographs, and it shows one of a host of angels, thousands and thousands of angels, and they're all holding trumpets. Some, they're leaning on them like staves. Others are holding them up to the air. Others are passing them to others, and it's all these angels in a very melancholy tone, waiting for this great day. They're not excited about it at all. Angels must reflect on the good nature of God, and they see His mercy over and over again extended to a wicked humanity. And they must want, they know how bad the judgment of God is. They know. They must much prefer man to repent like God does. And you know they're not looking forward to judgment day and when God says to sound the trumpet and pour out the judgments. They're not looking forward to that day, not entirely. But it's a very melancholy scene. But could it be that these trumpet-like sounds, metallic sounds, are could be just the angels passing the trumpets out to each other? I hope Melbourne, Australia never gets to experience one of these things where people walk, where you can hear it inside your house and people go outside and hear this eerie sound. Maybe we'll get our turn. Maybe that'll give us another open door to give out the gospel. Electrical storms. What a fearful sight from heaven that is. Psalm 77, verse 18 says, "The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world." That sounds like a lot of lightning to me. "The lightnings lightened the world, and the earth trembled and shook." Just months ago in England, a supercell storm passed over the country, pouring out nonstop lightning, and they recorded 54,000 strikes of lightning in a 24-hour period. Would you have liked to have been in England on that day and that night? And then scientists continue to report strange activities coming from the sun. We know more and more about those, but let's look at the final thing we want to highlight here. Signs in the heavens, as Jesus said, in the sun, moon, and stars. So let's look at the moon, and we're finished here, apart from the conclusion. Joel 2:31 says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come." The moon turned to blood. So we've all heard of blood red moons. We saw one in Sydney 6 years or so ago. But four blood red moons happening in a very short space of time is known as a tetrad. And it is a sign from heaven. And this has only happened three times in the past 500 years. And just in case you forget, because I forget 2 minutes after I've said it, all these end time signs have to do with who? Israel. Mexico, Canada, Indonesia, Sri Lanka, China, Russia. No, they have to do with Israel. Would you believe the last three times these four blood red moons have occurred in the past 500 years have had everything to do with Israel? I'll give them to you. 1493 to 1494, just that little 1 year overflow right there. Four blood red moons happened following the 1492 expulsion of the Jews from Spain. A very dark time in the Jewish people's history. Very dark. And then, 1949 to 1950, a tetrad followed Israel's historic war of independence. It was an approximately six-month war. Many Jews died. It was a very, very dark time for them. And then, just a few short later, there was another tetrad in 1967. This tetrad took place during the Six-Day War, also known as the Yom Kippur War, and Israel lost, if I'm not mistaken, about 6,000 people. And so, once again, a very, very dark day for Israel. Well, when is the next blood red moon scheduled to occur? Sooner than you might think. But notice, we had one in 1949-50, 1967. Now there's another one coming up. But don't be confused that this is a common occurrence. It's only happened three times in 500 years. And they were designed, perhaps by God, simply for Israel. Israel is out of the place of God's perfect blessing. Yes, they get some blessings. Our children, when they act evil, they still get fed each day, but they also get punished. God loves Israel with an everlasting love. He still takes care of them and helps them, but they're under His hand of judgment right now, and He's trying to turn them to their Messiah, their deliverer. And so the next set of four blood red moons is to occur in the year 2014 and 15. Would you like to know the dates that these blood red moons happen on, which I don't think happened with the previous blood red moons? We don't know. You can research it yourself. We could go into more and more detail on this and exploration, but we only need the basics. But these four blood red moons all happen on the same two Jewish feasts in each year. 2014, they fall on Passover and Tabernacles, which is once in the spring and once in the fall, and then it's repeated again from 2014. It happens the next year in 2015, in April, and then in September. Four blood red moons starting this April at Passover, and then in October at Tabernacles, the next year, April, once again in Passover 015, and then September at Tabernacles 015. Four blood red moons on four Jewish feasts within a year's space, approximately a year, year and a half. And it's a sign to who? According to the pattern, it's a sign to Israel, and it spells judgment, spells bad things. So we're living in a day where if you're not prayed up, we need to be prayed up, because it's a time to look up as well. It's an encouraging time to look up, as Jesus said, "For your redemption draweth nigh." All right, the conclusion. Are you saved? So happy about Josh just a few weeks ago, trusting Jesus as Savior, seeing that He's fully, not only fully Messiah, but fully God, fully deity, trusting in Him. Right now, the Savior wants to cleanse you from sin, and so that you can stand righteous before Him. And as Jesus Himself said, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Jesus is the only hope for escaping all these things that are coming to pass. That's hope. That's light. That's something to be excited about. That's not something to hang your head down about, because He's promised a way of escape. Before judgment came upon Sodom, Lot was not very deserving by any man's standards, yet God sent angels and delivered him and his family safely out. And He's able to, He knows how to do that. He's a good God. Romans 5:9 assures us that being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Whatever the timing is, you don't have to worry. You're safe if you're in Jesus. Are you saved? Are you sanctified? 1 John 3:2-3 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." So when we talk about being sanctified, that means being purified. And the scriptures gives us a reason right here why we can have an end time message like this. Is because when we have the hope of Jesus near appearing, soon appearing, we will purify ourselves. We will make ourselves ready for His coming. Are you saved? Are you sanctified? And are you sharing? I cannot believe the illustration God gave me for this. But just less than 2 months ago, witnessing to a tennis mate while we were waiting on a tennis match. We had a good 6 to 10 minute talk about the signs of Jesus coming and his need to make a decision for Jesus. And the conversation was broken off. We had to go play. But I was able to witness to him. And then just last night, I got a text that he died this week. He had asthma problems and suddenly died. And I did not follow up on that witness I gave him. He asked a couple of questions. He seemed very interested. I knew it. Well, I don't know how interested he was, but it showed some interest. A man at age 60 is wanting to know what's in the next life. Are you sharing? We don't have to just share the gospel with somebody once. We need to revisit that over and again. Some people, when we find people that are open to listen, forget the ones who aren't and focus on them. You don't have to overdo it, but the Lord will open up opportunities. They're often open for a short period of time, and we need to share and reshare the gospel with those that are willing to listen. Are you saved? Are you sanctified? And are you sharing the good news that Jesus saves? Let's stand and pray, and we'll ask God to help us get ready for the King's coming and to be sharing the both faithful and frightful news of what happens when the King comes. Depending on whose side you're on determines whether you are saved or sunk under His foot. Father in heaven, we thank You for the good grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all power in His hands. He created this universe and He can destroy it in the blink of an eye. But He loves His creation. He wants to see His creation restored. And that's what He's coming to do. And right now, one by one, one soul at a time, one heart at a time, He is changing us and conforming us into His own image. Those that are looking to Him, those that are wanting to be changed, those that are wanting to be washed and saved and sanctified and prepared for the next life. And we see the signs of Your coming, Lord Jesus. And we know that greatest sign, the key sign of Israel being back in their land, restored to their land, is the countdown to your coming. And that's been a good generation now, approaching 70 years since their declaration as a nation. You could come at any moment, Lord, and we just pray that you'd help us to be ready, to be saved, to be sanctified, and to be sharing this news with others, that they not be caught unawares, but we awake them out of their sleep. No, it's not a particularly happy news to deliver, but the hour is getting late, and we need to tell people to hurry about with their decisions, that each day that goes by gets harder and harder in these last days. So, Lord, help us to be mindful of these things in these short days that we're living in. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Carl. Wonderful reminders. Exciting times, fearful times, but for those who are in the Lord, very, very...